Welcome to a podcast by OpenTheWord.org, where we discuss a bit of Bible, a bit of life, and a bit of politics.
Hi, my name is Dean Smith, and in this podcast, I want to briefly look at three indicators that may suggest you are being controlled by a spirit of fear. Of course, there are varying degrees of fear, but fear has one goal. It wants to control you, and at times, we are completely unaware that our decisions are being dictated by our inner fears. In this discussion on fear, I want to use probably the most popular verse thrown out about fear provided in the Apostle Paul's letter to Timothy when he said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Unfortunately, because of its popularity, verses such as these become almost common, and we end up glossing over them. And in this verse, Paul sets up three characteristics that are alive in a person not controlled by a spirit of fear, namely power, love, and a sound mind. In other words, if you're being controlled by a spirit of fear, these three things will either be missing in your life or at the very least weakened. The first thing that Paul says is that you no longer have power. The Greek word dynamos, from which we get our word dynamite, refers to the Holy Spirit power demonstrated in miracles. But the word can also refer to our natural abilities and strength. In other words, when we are being controlled by a spirit of fear, we lose confidence not only in God, but even in our own God-given abilities. We are consumed by insecurity and self-doubt. When Israel was at the brink, at the very border of the promised land, Moses sent out 12 spies, and only two came back with a positive report. The other 10 were terrified by what they saw in this territory promised to them by God. But in fact, the biggest problem involved not how big the giants were, but how they felt about themselves. As we read, "There we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Numbers 13, verse 33. They literally said out loud, "We are grasshoppers in our own sight." They were so controlled by a spirit of fear that they considered themselves to be a small, insignificant insect. But notice what happened next. Then the Anak considered them as grasshoppers as well. Bullies pick up on people's insecurities and fears. These 10 spies were not only reinforcing this thinking in their own minds, they were telling everyone how useless they were. But many of us do the same thing. We may not be comparing ourselves to grasshoppers, but we are essentially saying the same thing. Have you ever muttered to yourself how stupid you were? Look, we all do stupid things, but that doesn't make us stupid. Have you ever called yourself an idiot under your breath? Or am I the only one that ever does that? But when we do this, we are describing what we really think about ourselves. I am useless. I am no good. I am a failure. I can't do this. I am too scared. I am incapable of defeating this enemy. This kind of talk actually weakens us, because if faith comes from hearing the word of God, then what happens when we hear negativity? Does it produce unbelief? Several years back, I read a story about an incident that took place in an Eskimo village located in Canada's northern Arctic. While out hunting one spring, a hunter came across a lost wolf pup and brought it back to the village. At first, it was a novelty and everyone's favorite pet. But the village dogs knew it was odd man out and picked on it. But that wolf started to grow, and within a year, it towered above the other dogs in the village in both power and size. And the writer recalled seeing this massive, full-grown wolf being chased around the village by a small, yapping house dog. The wolf could have easily killed that dog in a matter of seconds, but it was completely blinded to its power and strength. A few days later, one of the men took the wolf out into the tundra and shot it, because the day it ever realized what it really was, it would become the most dangerous predator in the village. But that is what fear and intimidation does. It blinds you to who you really are. But along with this lack of confidence, the Israelites had also lost confidence in God's ability to help them in this battle. This fear so dominated their thinking that they completely forgot how God had miraculously delivered them out of Egypt just a few weeks earlier. A spirit of fear actually paralyzes our thinking. It causes you to forget God's past provision. We are blinded to God's ability and to our own. Secondly, Paul says if we're controlled by a spirit of fear, the love for others begins seeping out of our lives. The question we need to ask is, how will this loss of love actually show up? Personally, I think it shows up in increased harshness and judgmental attitudes towards others. Coming out of the COVID pandemic, I have been shocked by the comments directed towards people who are not vaccinated for COVID, even at times mocking them if they come down or contract the virus. Look, I am fully vaccinated, but I am shocked by how our so-called civilized society is so eager to turn the unvaccinated into second-class citizens. A friend recently told me that his local municipal government just fired all its unvaccinated employees and didn't even provide them a severance. I've seen others becoming angry and judgmental towards people who are not taking COVID as serious as they are. I remember watching a video of a man stalking and harassing a woman who was not wearing a mask at a Target store in the U.S. Masks were not even mandatory at that time. Yet he followed her around the store and was even pointing her out to other shoppers and telling them to shame her. A survey conducted by One Poll in September 2021 found out that 1 in 7 had dumped friends because they weren't vaccinated. Another poll conducted by Coinstar discovered that 1 in 8 people will not be giving Christmas presents to family members who disagreed with them with their position on vaccines and lockdowns. Another poll conducted by the Trafalgar Group revealed that 22% of Americans believe that people should lose their jobs if they're not vaccinated, and another 12% said they weren't sure. So what is behind all of this? I believe the Apostle John provides a clue when he writes, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love," 1 John 4:18. Do you see what he said? Fear involves punishment. Yes, fear involves punishment. And I wonder if people who are controlled by a spirit of fear want to see others punished as well. Read these headlines in light of the Apostle John's warning. From the Daily Beast, "Mocking unvaccinated COVID victims is the new pandemic blood sport." Newsweek writes, "Calling unvaccinated people stupid endangers us all." Fox News headline reads, "Jimmy Kimmel says unvaccinated people shouldn't get ICU beds in his return to the late night show." The third thing Paul mentions is that a person who has a spirit of fear loses a sound mind. What is this referring to? Fear is primarily an emotion, and I believe when we are controlled by a spirit of fear, it begins to override our thought life. Facts and reasons are tossed aside as we focus on worst-case scenarios, the dark and ominous, you know, what-ifs. I recently read a story in the Daily Mail how an employer in Britain asked a woman to quit wearing, you know, a decorative spider brooch that she had brought online for $20. Apparently, One of her co-workers was terrified of spiders and asked the employer to have it removed because she was finding it uncomfortable. The woman wearing the brooch noted that for the most part she worked alone in an office, so the woman who was complaining was anxious by just knowing that the woman was wearing it, not because she was constantly seeing the brooch. In an article on Northwest Medicine's website entitled, Five Things You Don't Know About Fear, the author says that fear can make you foggy, writing, as some parts of your brain are revving up, others are shutting down. When the amygdala senses fear, the cerebral cortex, the area of brain that harnesses reasoning and judgment, becomes impaired, so now it's difficult to make good decisions or think clearly. As a result, you might scream and throw your hands up when approached by an actor in a haunted house, unable to rationalize that the threat is not real. I like how they described it as a fogged mind when we are controlled by a spirit of fear. We can't see clearly, and similar to a person out on a foggy night, a person can start seeing imaginary monsters floating through the mist. I remember a few months back, a younger person in his 20s died of COVID in the area where I live. Now it's very unusual for a person this age to die of COVID, and the article was quick to point out that he had severe underlying health issues. It's sad. But when a woman posted the story on Facebook, the first thing she did was say, I don't want anyone talking about his underlying health issues. She wanted everyone to be as terrified of COVID as she was. She did not want anyone dispelling her fear by pointing out that he had underlying health issues, even though the young man would have undoubtedly survived if he wasn't so seriously sick. But she wanted to have none of that. Her emotional fear was more real than solid fact. She did not want to be talked out of her fear and was almost angry at anyone who would try. We need to respect COVID, but God does not want us to be terrified of it. So in closing, if you feel like you're being controlled by a spirit of fear, how do we deal with it? It primarily comes down to controlling your thought life, and that will be one of the most difficult things you will ever do, as we can sometimes build up ruts in our mind because of bad thinking, and we all, you know, just like the wheels of a car, they always want to fall back into that rut, that old habit of thinking. I remember a couple years back reading an interesting statement that you have about, you know, 90 seconds to take control of a thought that enters your mind, or it will control you. And this is exactly the point that the Apostle Paul made in Romans 12:2, when he says that we are transformed, literally changed, by the renewing of our mind. God wants to transform your thinking. With the help of God's Word and the Holy Spirit, we need to take control of our thought life. We need to, as Paul writes, take captive every thought.
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast. Please check out our website at opentheword.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to receive notifications of future broadcasts. As well, please take a moment to provide a rating and even a review. Thanks again for listening.